Reading this morning is one of my favorites. I feel like I say that every week, but it's a pretty good book. It's from the 43rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah. And it comes again at a time when children of God are feeling very distant from God, separated by geography, by outlook, and seriously, by reality, the reality of their lives not being so good. And Isaiah shares these words from God. Thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, bring forth the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. Let all the nations gather together, and let all the people assemble. Who among them declared this and foretold to us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to justify them, and let them hear and say, it is true. Such a wonderful reading. My sermon today is titled, Through With You. It was going to be entitled, God's Through With You, but I thought you'd get the wrong idea. But that truly is what I have to say to you. God's through with you. Not done with you, not washing hands and walking away. But through with you. Notice in the reading, Isaiah does not say, God's going to lift you up and on a puffy little cloud carry you to paradise. Never, never does God make that promise in all the Bible. Never does God say anything but it might get messy. And it does. Life gets messy. Sometimes arduously so. And yet, there is God going through with you and me. Going through all that we go through. Experiencing it with us. The heartache of grief. God's heart breaks to see our hearts break. The struggle with illness and disease. God didn't want us to be made imperfect, I believe, but imperfect and fragile we are. Strife, political, social strife. The very nature of sin is such that innocent people get hurt by it. The waters and the fire, they come in all of our lives. And it is no great curse when it is us who suffers. It doesn't mean God has abandoned us or forgotten us, because God never abandons and God never forgets. All the evidence is right there in that big, thick book. Let's start from the top. Adam and Eve get thrown out of the Garden of Eden. What's the last thing God does? Sits down at the sewing machine and makes clothes for them. Cain and Abel. Cain murders Abel, and God says, you're going to wander the earth, and Cain says, they're going to beat me up. God puts a mark on him so he'd be protected. Fast forward as far as you want. Moses, the stuttering fool. Moses with a temper the size of New Hampshire. I don't know why I picked New Hampshire, but it's a perfectly good state when you're talking about temper, isn't it, Rick? Yeah. Moses the imperfect, whose imperfects didn't suddenly disappear. But God went through with Moses. Elijah the great prophet, had to go up against Oh, what's her name? Jezebel. Elijah running for his life. God sends an angel to feed him in the desert. Elijah on the mountain with God saying, there's no one left but me. Nobody else worships you. And God saying about that sinful nation, hold on, I know of at least 7,000 people back there. God went through with them, did not abandon them. Go on and on and on. We can fast forward all the way up to the New Testament and Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's quoting a psalm. He's not stating a reality. God had not forsaken him on the cross. God was right there with him on the cross. Look at the disciples afterwards. Paul, what a jerk. This is the guy who condoned and helped organize the stoning of the first Christian martyr. He's got blood on his hands, and he's traveling around all over the countryside persecuting Jesus' followers. But God didn't abandon him even through that, but turned him and brought him back. Peter denies 3 times that he even knows his rabbi. And then when he meets up with the rabbi again, the rabbi insists on Peter stating, professing his love for him publicly 3 times and wipes it out. The list goes on and on. And all of you here in this room right now can add to that list, have added to that list when you've gone through your struggles and your hard times as well. And this very church can add to this list. I was just thinking the other night, how when we added the new building, at one point they ripped out part of the ceiling of the basement, and I could see the cross beams that we all sit on and stand on and pray on when we're here in church. And they're rough cut timber from 1874 and 1875, which means they once were trees. And at one point, these rough-cut oak timbers from these massive trees had started out as an acorn, and at one point, I don't know, a squirrel buried it somewhere, and now we're worshiping on it. Our bricks are nothing but clay that someone scraped up and packed together with some water and turned into bricks. Everything of this building came from the earth and came from God and came through God knows what to become this building. And long after this building dissolves, those elements will still be around. And the same is true of you and me. Kids, when we do our baptisms, we're what? I usually say something vaguely between 70 and 90% water, right? What else we got in there? We got carbon. Carbon's a little element. A lot of carbon. Yes, Robbie, what else we got? The Holy Spirit, very good. All of that in there. And all of that mix that came together to form you and form me used to be floating out there in the world. And God shaped it at this point in time to be who you are right now. And when, like Ruth, you're done being who you are right now, God will send it back out there, back into the mixing bowl. And who knows what God will make next. God's through with you. God doesn't start you and then look you up at the finish. God's all the way through with you. Through those terrible times where you think you're going to be completely swamped and swept away by the currents of your life, God is right there with you, helping you find a foothold, helping someone else to reach out a hand to help you. When you're getting burned by the fire, and we've all been burned a time or two, God is right there, feeling the heat and helping to soothe you. God is through with you, and God is through and through in you as well, and me as well, and this church as well, and all that we do, if we do it well, as well. Through with you. Isaiah was speaking to people who were far from home. Judah was home. Jerusalem was where the temple was, and it was where they'd always come together to encounter God. And away they went across the desert to Babylon, the exile. Now, they had always been told by their priests that you got to go to church. You got to go to the temple. That's where you encounter God. They couldn't go to the temple anymore. They couldn't go to church anymore. Does that mean God was gone? That was a very real crisis for them. And Isaiah is saying, no, God is not gone. God is right in there up to God's neck with you. God is right there with you wherever you are, Isaiah tells them. And you may be distant from some shrine, some temple, but no, you're never out of reach of God. God is through with you, Isaiah says. Go ahead, have your babies, live your life, do your business, worship your God, and you'll be back, and you'll be back. When Ruth passed this week, she was ready to go for some time, our good friend. She'd been ready for a long time, and I think of all that she went through in her life, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow, not today. But contracting polio in 1920, living with an inoperable tumor that cut off function to parts of her body, burying a husband and a son. And yet, when you went into her bedroom, her hospital bed, her electric wheelchair parked over here, her television, and her computer, in her 90s, surfing the web, staying in touch, staying connected, laughing, scowling, living, and loving. She had been through more in her 93 and three quarters years than I hope I ever have to go through. I hope I never have to face down some of the horrors she had to face down in her time, in her life. But if I do, good God, I hope I can remember as well as she did that I'm not alone. I hope that I can live as nobly as she did, Larry, and raise a family like she raised. Here we are together, as we've been since 1799. Here we are on this hill together, as we've been since about 1804. Here we are inside walls that have absorbed prayer since 1875. And in all that time, the message hasn't changed. Whatever struggles we bring in here, whatever tough times lay ahead, God continues to say to us, in love, in joy, in peace and hope, my dears, I am through with you. Amen.